There's a headhunting company who scour the market for people to fill posts in sport, predominantly football. And I've been approached for a couple of other clubs, but when this one came on the radar, I was extremely interested because I've been to Ewood Park before and I thought that could be an unbelievably good challenge for me.
What was it that attracted you to come to a club like this that, if we're all going to be honest with ourselves, in the last decade, that the headlines about Blackburn Rovers haven't been particularly positive?
No, but the legacy of the club being one of only six clubs to ever win the Premier League, the infrastructure of Ewood Park, Category 1 Academy, which is unbelievable, facilities at the Senior Training Centre are stunning. So the whole infrastructure is ready to take off, and obviously the magic ingredients is winning games of football. I'd worked with Tony Mowbray before and Mark Venus at Coventry, so there was no hidden agenda there. I know how he operates, a great footballing man, lives, sleeps, talks about football every day, likes to bring through young players, likes to play in an attacking style that's quite attractive, similar to my values as the chief exec, really, of how I'd like a team to perform. You know, that was the entry point into the club, really, with those two combined things of infrastructure, current manager, academy, Category 1, go in and give it a strategic overview and let's move ahead.
There's been a number of people who have done a job similar to yours at Blackburn Rovers, maybe in a different title, maybe football director, director of football, managing director, that sort of thing. How does a chain of command work with you and people here in India? How does the whole decision-making process of running Blackburn Rovers work now that you're the chief executive?
Yeah, I went to India for an interview and to meet the owners, Mr. Desai and Madam Desai. So went out to meet them, for me to ask certain questions about how they view the club going forward, what's their vision, what would they be expecting me to do in terms of coming into the club. And basically it was, you come in as chief exec, you run all the operational side, all the reporting lines come up to you, you're going to make the key decisions, recommend them to us for approval, and then you get on with the job. And the key aim is obviously to get out the league this year, because you don't want to get locked down into League One syndrome, such as, you know, Sheffield United had. And I can't remember how many clubs have actually got automatic promotion out of League One. I can think of potentially Norwich and Southampton are the only two that spring to mind.
I think Bolton did last year, didn't they? Wolves a couple of years ago.
Yeah, Wolves were another one, yeah. So, but it's tough getting out. So obviously, coming to the club initially, what are my first 100 days going to be? Well, 35, 40 of them are going to be on the transfer window. To look at the depth of the squad, to work alongside Tony, Mark Venus. You know, we had a committee that we had that meet every Friday afternoon with under-23s, under-18s, Stuart Jones, Damien in there, and just looking at the whole spectrum of football and how we're going to develop and push through and create pathways. So there, that was the first 40-odd days taken. Now I'm moving into the next phase of commercial and alongside all the community integration as well of the club. So we have a holistic, rounded approach to how we position the club going forward.
You don't need me to tell you, having worked for Charlton Athletic and having worked in other clubs, where Coventry City, where you said it was a big challenge, that you're going to face supporters, you're going to face a lot of unhappy people from time to time, and there's no doubting there have been who follow Blackburn Rovers over the years. Your head's going to be on the block from day one, isn't it? Are you happy to accept that?
Well, happy is not the operative word I'd use, but it comes as part of the territory of being chief exec of a club. I'm not the person who puts it into the back of the net, but I've got to strategically manage the club. And if it's not deemed to be going in the right positive direction, then fans will react accordingly. One thing they will get from me is honesty, transparency, and exactly where we are as a club. You know, it's pointless saying statements and saying other things that are not true. Just tell the fans how it is. They've got access to all the different media channels in the world now. They're really well informed. And I think they may never like me, but I hope that they respect for the job I'm going to be doing.
Where are Blackburn Rovers as a football club, in your opinion, from a financial plight? Is it quite a concerning picture that you look at?
No, it's not concerning. I had to do my due diligence coming into the club because I'm putting my career on the line to come up here and live up here and spend the next few years, you know, football, you can never take anything for granted, but hopefully over a period of time I'll be up here. The financial sort of overview is that it's a very much a benefactor model, where, you know, the Venkies put in the shortfall of how they want the club to develop. My view is it'd be good to move to a more sustainable model, but as long as we've got support of the owners, and I've been fully supported, and says Tony Mowbray, over the my first month and a half here, so everything that was promised for me in terms of transfer window and that has been fulfilled. In going forward, the push in the second half of the season, same commitment, with a view, as I said before, of the prime objective Ian being to get out of this league at the first attempt. Now, amongst all that, we've got Wigan, who've got, you know, considerable budget as well. We then throw in a Shrewsbury, who are sort of becoming the Leicester of League One. You know, lower budget, but, you know, great squad of players who've knitted well together in terms of their cohesion. They're not going anywhere. So we're going to have to go on another considerable run of games to make sure we get to an amount of points, which I normally say to a manager, 2 points a game, 92 points usually would get you automatic. Whether that's the case this season, we don't know, but that's still got to be the target.
One of the big key things that has been said so many times over the years is we want to hear from India. We want to hear what the owners think. We want to know how they are going to address hemorrhaging the amount of money that Blackburn Rovers do on a yearly basis. And it's very, very quiet, Steve, the communication channels from India. I fully respect that you've got a job to do to communicate possibly on their behalf, and other people do as well. But can you understand the frustration from the fan side of it, who want to hear from India and for a long, long time now haven't?
Yeah, but I think you've got to respect position of the owners as well, that, you know, might not want to be caught in publicity. They might want to run the club in a way where they put someone in charge who hopefully I've got to build up a trust with them in terms of perhaps some of the things that have happened in the past. And they've got a guy at the helm of football who they trust implicitly now. I think Tony, because of results and the way he handles and conducts himself, has gained that trust quickly. I've got to do something similar, but I will be the communication and the voice for the owners to the fans. Whether or not it ever changes that they want to have a direct liaison with the fans, then that's going to be their call.
Do the channels with Mike Cheston and Sahel Pasha and those other gentlemen remain the same, though, in terms of their roles? Do they work to you, or do they work alongside you? How does it work?
Mike will report into me because he's the FD. All staff in the club report to me. Sahel is in an advisory capacity to liaise alongside with me to the owners, but I've also got direct access to the owners as well.
Does it help having Sahel on board, though, in that respect? That does he get the answers quicker than perhaps they have in the past?
In the past, I think the only lines of communication, most recently that I know of, has been Sahel to the owners. But I've come in and got direct access to the owners. But obviously Sahil's got experience, and therefore will try be in a transitional stage for a while. But eventually, you know, I'm going to keep going and build up the relationship with the owners, so I get more and more discussions with them. And I'm also going to be going at least four times a year to India to report back. So there'll be sort of board meetings held in India so that they can observe the performance of the business and then impose on me whatever the strategic direction they wanted to go. So I'm very keen to keep communication channels being open upwards to the owners and across and down to the fans, and being quite open and transparent with how the club's performing.
Would you encourage them to come here for games to see how their product is?
I think they've got a global empire that they've got to run, and this is one strand of the empire. And again, you know, it's down to them to deem fit what they want to do and how often they want to be here. They've positioned me in the club to take on the operational side and strategic direction alongside them, with the help of all the staff here. And they've got a good bank of staff here with lots of experience, and therefore whether they come back and they want to come back more frequently, it's down to them in the future.
In terms of being in League One, just how vital is it? You've mentioned it already, that you don't want to be stuck in League One and be a club that is treading water for 5 or 6 years before they can get back. So in terms of this year, is it vital? Have the owners said anything along those lines that you have to go up this year? It is paramount that this football club isn't in the third tier for longer than 1 year.
In football, it's hard to use words like, you know, we must. It's a competitive league. We all know what League One's like. We all know what other leagues are like. But the requirement is we'd like to get out the league at the first attempt, and we're going to fund it in that way, and we're going to have a squad in that way, and therefore, you know, that brings pressure on the people in terms of me and Tony to deliver results. But the way it's going so far, touch wood, they've had a great first half of the season, and if they can replicate that in the second half, I still feel as if we'll go up automatically.
Do you believe the club have supported Tony just as much as they possibly could in the last two windows since relegation?
I can't speak for the first window because I wasn't here, but the recent window that's just closed, fully supportive. The four main targets, we got in very soon. We'd done the business early by the first 18 days of the month. We had some other targets, and then we had to readjust because we got a lot of players coming back from injury as well. So there was a few players, I think, knocking on Tony's door saying, am I going to get regular football? And Tony, being honest, had to say, perhaps not. And therefore, we had to realign them out into loan deals. And we did have one or two others that were very optimistic that we didn't come off. But I think they're out of contract in the summer, so we may go again this summer for those players.
How challenging is the next few months in your role, Steve? Because you probably, and I spoke to Paul Senior, who had this office before you, and said this time last year, have you got to almost work with two sheets of paper here? One for next season, hoping for the best, and one for next season, still in League One. Have you got to almost work to two agendas at the moment?
I think if you're forecasting going ahead, you take the status quo of where you are initially, which is League One, but obviously you also hope that the position we're in at the minute, in third position, that you know the championship budget will be the one that you want to be working with next season. So you're right, you've got to have two sides of the budget. One where we are at the moment, should we have to be in League One next year, but hopefully the other one you want to kick in, the championship one.
You've met with some supporters already. I'm sure you'll be meeting more in the coming weeks. What have been your first real thoughts from the feedback you've been given from the supporters?
I'm at the fans forum, and as usual when I meet fans, it's a passion, the loyalty, it's a drive to want the club to get back to where they believe it belongs. That's similar to all other clubs I've been in, to be fair. I've had some interesting conversations on away games where I bumped into them car parks and getting off away coaches and getting a vibe. And then I've also got a planned a meeting with the London supporters branch the evening before the Gillingham game. And also I want to meet other fan groups as well. And those who've been on the periphery and the margins, I'd like to engage with those to get their vibe. So I've got to get a view, good, bad or whatever, indifferent. They want success. They want a club to win. They want a club to be proud of. They want a club to be a beacon in the community. And I'm going to try and deliver as many of those as possible.
And how much of a help is it that the supporters, in general, and I can't talk for every single one of them, have a lot of belief in your manager, that when he speaks, he says it as it is, and they feel that whatever Tony Mowbray is saying is reliable and trustworthy. How much does that really help you?
It's a terrific help. I mean, he's 100% honest, and he just, as he's rightly said, he says it how it is. And through that, the fans build up a trust and a rapport with a manager who, you know, because we've all seen interviews, post-match interviews by managers who seem to watch a different game to what we watch, but Tony doesn't. He watches it as a manager, he watches it as a fan, he watches it as a technician, and he tells people exactly how it is, and it's a great help.